Scientists are only just beginning to understand how racial violence affects Asian Americans. That's because there's little research on this. A recent wave of anti-Asian violence has triggered many Asian Americans, causing them to recall their own experiences of racism and making them fearful for themselves and their families. WBUR's Angus Chen reports on how anti-Asian hate has affected one Massachusetts woman and on the research on racial violence in the Asian American community. As a warning, this story contains descriptions of racism that may be upsetting and language that some may find offensive.
There's a certain, dread that I have. It's in my head, it's in my gut, even when I go to the supermarket or I walk down the street.
Lisa Wong finds it difficult to go about her daily life without fear.
There's a sense of, is somebody going to do something, say something? Because it does happen.
With every new attack on Asians, she wonders if she or someone she loves will be next. Just going out these days feels like an act of self-defense.
My dad wanted to go get fish at Chinatown, and I didn't want him to go alone. So, my brother and I went with him. He disappeared around the corner. We didn't see him. I felt that fear. I really did.
On March 16th, Wong felt her fear amplify. A white man had shot and killed 6 Asian women and 2 other people inside spas in the Atlanta area. They died just going to work or getting a massage because they were Asians in Asian-owned spas. That's how racialized violence can harm people who share an identity, even if they're far from the scene of the crime. Doris Chang is a professor of psychology at New York University. She and her 11-year-old son were looking at news reports about the victims of the spa shootings.
My son looked at a picture and he said, "That looks like Apo," which is my mother. And so it was, really, really personal and, hard not to personalize it as something that could have happened to anybody in my family, something that could have happened to anybody that I know.
At the same time, Chang wondered if this incident, like so many others, would just get swept away. She says a lack of recognition of the racism and racial violence against Asians has been an added source of harm. And she worried the Asian American community would have to keep facing this alone.
Are people actually going to see how traumatic and disturbing this is going to be for me and for people who identify as Asian American? That was really the first question. And I really didn't know.
Most research on the health effects of racial violence has focused on Black and white people. These studies suggest when people of color observe or learn about racial violence against members of their race, they experience more stress and worse mental health. But Chang says there isn't a lot of research on the Asian American experience of racial trauma. From 1992 to 2018, only 0.17% of National Institutes of Health funding went to studying Asian, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Americans. As a result,
we tend to be more invisible, more marginalized in those conversations. And so there's so much we don't know about the lived experiences of Asian Americans and the factors that predict health and well-being for this group.
In particular, research may have a blind spot toward Asian mental health. In mental health surveys from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Asians report low levels of anxiety, depression, and use of mental health care. But Chang's working on a study now that surveyed about 700 Asian Americans about anti-Asian hate incidents. At least 40% of participants reported one or more incidents of in-person racism over the last year, including verbal harassment and physical assault. Chang says her study shows those incidents harmed participants' mental health and that these experiences are far more widespread than the few thousand recorded by advocates over the last year.
To see that 40% of our sample were reporting similar things shows us how underreported these events really are, how pervasive they are across our community, and that they're happening to many, many more of us than are actually reporting it.
One reason why the issue is so underreported is racism itself. Psychologist Jenny Wang says the stereotype that Asians are passive and don't want to rock the boat isn't cultural. It's because American society has often suppressed Asian voices.
The problem is that when we speak up and it's silenced, we then internalize this message that my action of speaking up has no effect.
Wang says that silencing can have terrible health consequences.
I have seen this play out clinically in that a lot of my clients really struggle with advocating for themselves, speaking up for themselves, expressing their emotions, being vulnerable.
And it can be a struggle to talk about personal experiences of hate. Last July, Lisa Wong was leading a Zoom meeting for the town of Winchester.
Of stormwater.
A city commissioner was talking about stormwater management when he suddenly stopped short.
What in God's name is going on your Zoom right now?
Racial slurs appeared on the screen. Someone had hijacked the presentation and began flashing white supremacist images and shrieking in a distorted voice. As a warning, you're about to hear some disturbing language and racial slurs. If you need to take children out of the room or turn off the radio, you should do it now.
White power! White power! Kill the chinks! White power!
Lisa Wong, you're a chink!
You know, that slur, the way he said it, stayed in my mind for about 5 months before I started to talk about it.
This is Lisa Wong again.
I was so shocked that I couldn't consciously think of that event without breaking down.
When Wong finally started talking about the Zoom bombing, she asked others who had been on the call what they remembered about it.
I was sort of hearing things like, no, you weren't the target. No, I didn't hear that. That didn't happen. And then to start to talk about it as part of my healing process and to get denied or gaslit was equally, if not more, traumatizing.
In the days after the Atlanta mass shooting, that sense of being ignored hung over Wong like a shroud. The shooting, the broader reactions to it, kicked up her memories of the Zoom bombing. An Atlanta police official said the department couldn't determine if the shootings were racially motivated because the shooter said they weren't. The morning after the shootings, she took the day off.
The stress and the harm is happening at a faster rate than we can process. As we're processing what happened in Atlanta, I think we're also processing everything else because it's all catching up to us.
Many Asian Americans have thought if we just worked really hard and stayed silent, that would overcome anti-Asian racism in America. But a year of racial violence, capped off with the murders of 6 Asian women, shattered the idea that Asians could pass through America unnoticed but safe. Now, Wong is speaking out.
Part of me feels like I just want to disappear. Just like I think if we just put our head down and work hard, they will go away, they won't happen. But it's pretty clear that being silent is not going to keep me safe. It's not going to keep my daughter safe.
So Wong and others are unlearning decades of silence. Like her, many Asians are speaking at rallies to stop anti-Asian hate, starting conversations about it, and reporting crimes and incidents to the media and police. Some demonstrations have had thousands of protesters in attendance. Wong worries the spotlight will fade before real change can happen, but she says using her voice has been meaningful.
That is powerful. It's powerful to be seen.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Angus Chen.